Morning in your Bibles to Psalm 1. I got to talking about this last week on Sunday night, and Lord, been putting it on my heart and in my mind, so today we're going to look at it. Psalm chapter 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can come at this time, Lord, and just ask you to let your Holy Spirit work in our hearts, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened today, that, Lord, as we listen to the word, the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today might be that day that they say yes to you. Lord, that they might give their life to you, that they might live that godly life. Lord, I pray this morning, too, that if there's someone here that needs to make a decision, rededication, or whatever you lead on their heart, today might be that day, and God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, we're living in the age of, I started to say telephone, but it's computer, really. The living in the age of the computer. Everything seems like it's controlled by the computer. Your car has got those little computer chips in it and everything. One goes out, man, they're expensive to get replaced. And then the telephone, our TVs. It seems like everything. I heard someone say that telephone has got enough smarts about it that if we'd have had it back then, they could have landed a man on the moon with that and brought him back. That is a lot of information. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Not only do we live in the day of the computer and everything like that, but we also live in the day of anxiety, where everyone today has a emptiness in their life. We're taking more prescription drugs. We're running to the medicine cabinet to get more aspirin and Aleve and whatever we might have in the cabinet because of all the anxiety that we have in our life. And the joy and the value of life is sadly absent in most people's lives today. We see more suicides today amongst our young people. And parents are turning more to narcotics than any other time. You know, it's real scary today. If you're trying to raise children, if you're trying to make a living, not knowing what tomorrow holds. Let me ask you today, what is wrong with this? In our society, when we have the modern conveniences of more than ever before in our world, and yet we see more people filled with anxiety and things in their life, depression is bad in our lives. What is wrong with our people? You know, I took my little phone out the other day. They say, old Siri can answer a lot of questions, and I asked her a theological one, And she said, I'm not programmed for that. I thought to myself, you ought to be. You know everything else. Evidently, she's lost. She don't know Christ. I tell you what. You know, a computer is no better than what is programmed into it. Amen? That's about it. And that's sadly what we find in our lives today, right here in this scripture. This is true of this marvelous little thing. I said little thing when I pointed my brain. We call a brain. It is no better than what we put in it, in our subconscious mind. Isn't it amazing how instantly we can recall a piece of information that we have received at every moment, or every emotion that we have is called upon or experienced? The old saying, you are what you eat, is true. And, you know, some of us are living proof of that. But we are what we put into our minds. The Bible says in Psalm 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And sin fed into our minds through our eyes and through our ears as we see, taste, touch, or smell, filters down into our attitudes, our emotions, and our actions that we have in our life. Now, Psalm 1 describes two types of people. Those who feed on God's Word. Those who listen to God's ways. The Bible says the result of feeding the things of God into your mind is that you're tall, you're strong, you're planted firmly like a tree that brings forth fruit in its season. And then there's those who feed their mind on the devil's lies, the devil's ways, and the result is weak, worthless chaff that is blown away by the wind and is burned up in our lives. Now you think about it this morning. What are you putting into your mind? You see, if you have two children, they're just raised in the same family, but one you feed on the things that are good and healthy, and the other you feed on the junk food, guess what? One of them is going to be overweight, undernourished, really, and he's going to have problems in his life. The other will grow stronger and taller in his ways because he's fed on the things that are right. And the Bible tells us that this morning. The strong character person builds his life on the things of God. Amen. The Bible tells us that the person who listens to God, the person who builds his life on the things of God, his word, the Bible says, blessed is the man. Or that word blessed simply means happy is the man. Happiness is going to be found in his life more than it's going to be found in the other life. It is an abiding presence of God's joy and God's pureness, in God's peace and God's love in that person's life, because he has linked himself to God. He has connected his life on the Word of God. And when a man feeds upon the Word of God with his life, he's going to find the joy and the happiness and the peace and the contentment, even though we walk through the storms of life, even though we find our lives maybe lived with a lot of emotional stress and things like that, we're going to know that the peace of God rules our life because we fed our life upon the world, upon the godly things. And a godly man or a godly woman refuses to let the world pull them away from God. You see, they're thinking about the things of God. They're thinking about the godly way of life. They're thinking about the godly living. And here is a picture of a man in verse 1 that if he walks in the counsel of the ungodly, if he stands in the path of sinners, or he sits in the seat of the scornful, here is a man by his life that the world is slowly pulling them away from God. Little by little, the world pulls his life away from God, and he eventually finds himself caught up in the world of sin. You can't do that, folks. If you want a happy life, you can't let the world pull you away from God. So first, we look at the godly man does not walk with the counsel of the ungodly. You know what that really means? A godly man does not order his life. You see, set by order of his life with the counsel of the ungodly. We cannot escape this old world. Folks, we live in a world out here. We go out to work on Monday, you're going to be confronted with the world. It's all around us. The world makes fun of us. The world talks to us. We hear the ugliness of the world. You cannot escape that. And I don't think we should try. You see, the Bible says the Lord ate with sinners. But when we come into contact with the world, we got to live that life without their contamination. And folks, that means we have to fill our minds. I like Romans, it says, renew your mind. Listen, folks, we've got to fill our mind with the things of God. We've got to think about God's stuff each and every day. I love singing. I love the music. I love those songs that we sung today. I just love the one that the choir did, you know. It tells about God as the Father. He's a good God. He's a great God. He loves us. He cares for us. Fill your mind on His things. It's sad to say most of the world is filling their minds upon the world things. And the world constantly is trying to pull our young people down. It's trying to pull our people down, our families down. Let me tell you, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your eyes, what you look at. You've got to guard your ears, what you hear every single day. Man, you can go out there into the world and you hear all kinds of dirty jokes and all kinds of dirty things. You know, you got to turn away and leave. Don't let that contaminate your life. When something comes along that's not looks good on television, turn it off. Or turn it to some other channel. Don't sit there and fill your mind and eyes with it. You say, I'm old enough now, I can look at it, it won't bother me. No, you ain't. That's a lie from the devil. He fills your minds. And let me tell you, the world has pulled more Christians down than we pull them up. And that is sad, folks. Second, he does not stand in the path of the sinners. Let me tell you something. If you listen to the world long enough, you will line up with the world and end up doing what the world does. If you run with the dogs, someone said you're going to get his fleas. Folks, let me tell you, that's true. You get out there and run with a group that's ungodly, the first thing you know, you'll be doing the things that are ungodly. Stay away. The happy, the blessed man is one who does not order his life after the way of the world, or he does not walk in line with what the world does. If we line up with the world, it won't be long until we start laughing with the world. And the first thing you know, we are doing what the world does. Man, I don't know, but I quit watching those. I never did watch much. I liked it when old Johnny Carson was on, late night with Johnny Carson. But today it's got so crude and so ugly. I don't even know who those guys are now. I turn it off. But, you know, everything like that just pulls you away from the things that are God. You see, there are so many negative things out there. We need to know some of the positive things out there. And what we need to do is dedicate ourselves to the things of God and to His Word. Listen to what it says in verse 2. Our delight, but His delight, a godly person, is in the law of the what? Lord. Is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He does what? He meditates on that law day and night. We need to line ourselves up with the Word of God. And we need to live our lives in tune with the Word of God. Live it in our life. If you want to have a happy life, you've got to live with the Word of God. You know, today we're so uptight and so wound up. Boy, it's hard to just, you know, stop and pause a little bit. I like what Psalm 46, verse 10 says. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." When we got a lot of anxiety in our life, when we're tired, when we're weary, you know what Jesus says? Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Now, how many of us do that? Just pause in our life. Start praying. Start praising God. Lift up His name. Read His Word. And He says, I'll give you rest. Instead of running for the pill bottle, go to the Bible. You see, when we don't know what to do in life, man, let me tell you something. Young people, there's going to be a lot of things in your mind, a lot of questions you need to find out, a lot of things going to, you got to make a lot of decisions. Jesus says, come to Him. I will lift up your eyes. Or you will lift up your eyes to Him, and He will give you strength. Folks, that's where we find our strength. Dedication to the Word, meditation on the Word, and application of the Word in our life. That's what we need. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Let me tell you, the average person, I'm told, spends 40 hours a week working. Now, I don't know if that's you or not, but 40 hours a week working, 20 hours watching television. That's a lot of time, isn't it? and I'm just as guilty as y'all. 15 minutes a day, we could read the Bible through. They tell me the New Testament 5 times a year. If we just spent that much time, yet the average Christian has never read the New Testament through. Think about it. No wonder our lives are in such a mess. No wonder our churches have fallen off. No wonder we have so many Christians that are leaving church nowadays. Our so-called Christians are leaving church nowadays. We're not caught up in the things of God. We're caught up in the things of the world. And then we see a foundation upon the Word of God. Jesus said, the person who listens to my word is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. It will stand against the storms of life. When we take our lives and we identify our life to Christ, the Bible says that person is going to be like a tree that's planted by the river. You know, we're not here by accident, are we? I don't believe that with all my mind. I don't believe we're here by accident. You didn't just accidentally show up here today. You planned to come, didn't you? You got up this morning and you decided, I'm going to church today. You're not here by accident. I believe God put that in your mind and that in your heart. I will go to church today. He has planted you here today. I don't believe it's by accident that I preached on this message today. You know, I got to thinking, boy, we were all over it in Sunday school. I was listening to Brother Perry teach, and I was thinking, well, he's going to get all over my message before it's over with. Rerun. But you know what? We probably needed to hear it twice. But you know what? I tell you, just like our lives, if we line them up with Christ, if we put in the things that are godly in our life, He's planted us here, we ought to be planted to produce more Christians. Bear fruit. We have a reason for being here. And you know, we got a home to return to one of these days. He's coming again. I believe that with all my heart. And we have stability in our root system, because we have planted ourselves in Christ and our roots go deep, real deep. Boy, the Bible says we won't be pulled away by any little wind of doctrine. You see, God doesn't shelter us from the storms of life. It's in those storms, in those temptations, it's in those tears that we grow stronger, and He gives us His strength to stand upon. We have maturity as we bear fruit for Christ in our lives. And the world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like us. The devil doesn't like us. Jesus said, the world persecuted Him. You're going to be persecuted. Get ready for it. I believe it's coming. You see? But we have something else. If we plant our lives in Christ, we're going to be firmly planted so that all the garbage in the world won't pull us away from Christ, and we will prosper in the things that matter. You know, some people think, well, if I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, I'm going to get rich. That's not what the Bible says. We'll prosper, folks, in the things that really matter in life. Now, we may or not be blessed financially. That doesn't bother me one bit. I told somebody the other day, I didn't come here for money. Let me tell you something. You don't surrender to God to preach His word to get rich. You just don't do it. I know there's some out there that are fleecing a flock, but when you surrender to God to preach His word, you do it because you love God, not because you make money. And I tell you, that's why I'm here. You don't pay me enough, I'll guarantee you. But if you didn't pay me anything, I would still preach His word. I think I came here. I don't know, is Laverne here today? I don't know where, I don't know if I got any members besides maybe David and Rhonda back here. She's up here. I don't think I started out at $50 a week. Boy, it was a lot. You know, when I come over here, I didn't plan to get rich on $50 a week. Man, that's almost nothing. When I moved to Gresham, it was only $50 a week. My wife made more than I did. And I was going to school at the same time, driving 80 miles one way to do that. It doesn't add up, does it? But you know, faith doesn't figure. Faith just is obeying God and letting God take care of you. And that's exactly what God did through the years, through Rhonda and I. Well, I tell you what, you grow on that strength of God. We may or may not be blessed financially, but let me tell you something. I have been blessed spiritually. I have been blessed physically. I have been blessed by God, and I couldn't start to count all the blessings that God has given us as a family. And that's what it's all about. You serve God not because you're going to get something. You serve God because that's the right thing to do. You live your life according to what the Word says. See, it's not how big a house you find. Oh, let me tell you something. Houses are, you know, they come and go. But how kind of a home? Man, this is a home. This is a family. And I thank God He's given me a great family. You know, luxury doesn't bring contentment. You know, luxury doesn't bring contentment. I was riding down a road one day in a big Cadillac. Man, I wasn't mine. One of my deacons, not here. I don't know if any of my deacons have Cadillacs or not. They all poor as I am. You know, we poor as a church mouse around here. But you know what? I was driving that big Cadillac at the time. I said, man, this thing just floats along. But I was just as happy. At that time, I was driving a little Ford Fiesta. Have you ever rode in a Ford Fiesta? It looks like Tom. You're sitting in the back seat to drive a thing. I remember when I came here, Tom had a little red car. You sat in the back seat just about it. You ever seen a 7-foot guy getting a Ford Fiesta? Funniest thing I ever had. I'm not getting off the sermon. I'm just going to tell you this. It was a funny thing. Guy came into church one day, and he literally had to duck to go under the door. He asked me if I could take him. If I could take him over to the VFW hall over in Seven Points. At that time, we had a Mazda. Mazda, pretty small. 7-foot guy like that, he was bigger than Tom. He was taller than Tom. You know what I did? He could not sit in there like that. I opened the moonroof and his head stuck out. Yeah, that's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. But you know what? He didn't complain one bit. It's a whole lot better than walking. You see, you can be content with God. God brings contentment. It's not luxury. It's not how big a house you live in. You know, it's being right with God. It's contentment in your heart. And then there's a sad contrast of the godly and the ungodly. Look at what it says in 4 through 6. Their identity, the ungodly. The Bible says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Some folks are wicked and vile people. The nice, decent, respectable people, these people here are on the outside of Christ. The world is in control of their life. They shall perish. They shall perish. You know, people can be religious, but not holy. They come to church. Many come to church and their hearts are far from God. They're thinking about everything in the world but God. And we listen to the world instead of God's word. Look at their instability. He is weak, worthless. The winds blow his life. He needs the worldly things of life to help him along. Day after day after day, the grind of life flows in his life, and the winds blow him one side to the other. And he turns to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of devices. If you read in the back of the paper last week, the text, and I believe it was, you saw Elvis Presley's stepbrother. I'd met him personally. He came to Rusk at our church right after Elvis had died, and he's the one that gave him the drugs to take every night. You would think somebody like Elvis Presley would have been happy. He had the best of the thing this world would throw at him. Amen? Houses, fortune, riches, fame, great singer. Yet his brother, Rick said, you know, he was miserable. One miserable person that had to take prescription drugs over and over and over just to make it through the day because he was not happy. I was watching a television show the other night about Deion Sanders. Y'all know Deion Sanders. Some of you met him here, I think. You know, he was saying to this guy, he thought when the guy asked him, "What, Deion, what was your feeling when you won that first Super Bowl ring?" He said, "You know, after I won that first Super Bowl ring, I went out and got onto the bus. And he said, I sat there on that bus, and he said, I was the most unhappy, miserable guy. He said, I thought it would be great, but he said, this is his own words, I thought of killing myself and committing suicide because I wasn't happy. And all the millions that he made, he said, didn't bring happiness. Deion said, only when Jesus Christ came into my life was I found happiness. And I don't know about his life, but no, it was his testimony the other night on that show. And he said, I just try to tell the world now that the only happiness you find is in Christ. You see, we have all of these things that life throws at us. And we think, well, we're going to be happy if I can just have a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. This world does not bring happiness. And then look at the destiny of these people, verses 5 and 6. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They will not stand or sit in the assembly of the righteous. Their end is to perish. And the psalmist knew that God's judgments was coming, and God would stand as their judge, and everybody would give an account. I believe it's John that said he would take the sheep and the goats, and he would separate the sheep and the goats. You see, they would be destroyed with fire. And that word perish, some people think, I heard somebody say, well, when you die, you just, that's it. No, that's just the beginning. That word perish doesn't mean annihilation, but waste. Forever waste. The Greeks had a word for hell. It was Gehenna, or the Valley of Hinnom. The valley outside the walls of Jerusalem was a city dump, where all the garbage went, and it smoked and it burned, and the stench would fill your nostrils day and night and day and night. You see, the ungodly fills their mind with the garbage of the world, and their lives are filled and wasted, and they die without Christ, and they perish. That means they go out into the waste, or the worst end of the human life is the soul that spends eternity without God in the garbage dumps of the world. God called it a place called hell, where the worm dieth not. Oh, let me tell you something. How are you filling your life? Blessed or ungodly? Folks, it's up to you. I can't make that decision for you. If you're going to have a revival in your life, it's got to be you and God. You know, you've got to fill your mind on the things of God, not on the things of the world. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first thing you've got to do to get your life right with Him, is trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He died for you. He paid the price for sin. Will you accept it? He said it's a gift. Salvation is a gift, but you've got to come receive it. Would you do that this morning? If you don't know Christ, you say, well, preacher, I'm not sure if I know Him or not. Well, if I didn't know for sure, I would make sure today. That's how you know. You make sure today. Maybe you're here and you need to revive your life. Man, we all do that, don't we? You just need to get down or stand up or wherever you're at. Say, Lord, this is my life. It's been one without Christ. I fill my life with things that are wasteful. Lord, I want to get right with You and get your life right with Christ. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God's led you. Would you come? I'll be glad to share with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, that You are in control. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that they feel their life and wasted their life, Lord, today might be the first day that they have a blessed life by just coming to You, getting things right with You. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.